This is WMFS-FM and HD.
Or the Kroger app and use up to 5 times in one transaction.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com station. Home of the Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Data message rate supply national contest. It's time for another new money in the new year appointment. Every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. weekdays on 92.9 FM ESPN and right now.
So it is time for the new money in the new year, 9 o'clock cash code. Text FUTURE, F-U-T-U-R-E. Text FUTURE, F-U-T-U-R-E to 72881 here in the next hour, and you're automatically entered for a chance to win $1,000. Again, text FUTURE. F-U-T-U-R-E, F-U-T-U-R-E to 72881. 72881, of course, data and message rates may apply. Your next chance to win is right here on the Jeff Calkins Show at the 10 o'clock hour when I'll give you another new money in the new year cash code. One last time, text FUTURE, F-U-T-U-R-E to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. I ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I ain't getting no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
I will tell you that these late night games, these late games, well, it wasn't like a West Coast game or anything, but the Tigers game was at 8 o'clock last night, right?
Indeed.
You only had one
at 2:30. You got 30 minutes up from last week. Last week it was 8:30.
Yeah, but I lost the 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how?
I'm curious to find out.
I lost the 30 minutes because, and the real problem is that, listen, I don't want to complain about my life, which is I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
But so then I write for the Daily Memphian, and so I file, like, there's not a quote-unquote newspaper print deadline. It has to get on the driveways the next morning.
Correct.
Whatever. So you used to have to get
right.
filed by 11
a.m.,
You used to have to file by 11:30 or something. Now I can write as far into the night as I want to, really. And so then you had back-to-back games. You had the Grizzlies game one night. I filed at 1. And then last night I ended up literally filing at nearly about 2. But the reason I lost the half hour, and I don't recommend this, is that I ran a police car off the road.
Go on.
Well, that was the problem. I was leaving FedEx Forum, and I was making the turn onto whatever the road is right before you get onto 240 going the southbound. Whatever. Not
240 or 40?
No, if the one that dumps off in downtown, I think it's 240. I get on
240. So you're on Union?
Nope. The exit before that. The exit.
Lamar?
I guess it's Lamar.
Yeah,
Lamar. So I need to turn left on Lamar, and then I get on 240, right? Okay?
Yes, I know where you are now. I know exactly where you are now.
So I did that, and as I did that, I then wasn't paying appropriate attention, evidently, pretty clearly, because blue lights showed up behind me.
Okay.
And now I knew.
Always a great feeling.
I knew.
Top 10 feelings in the world.
I knew I wasn't drunk. I knew that I hadn't been speeding. I knew that. I thought maybe I'd been a little erratic in the way that I had been approaching the turn. And
you could have been more cautious.
I wasn't focused. I was listening to the post-game show, and I might have been fiddling with the radio or something, whatever. Trying to make sure it was locked on 92.9.
Yeah.
And the blue lights appear behind me, and it takes... He didn't say anything. He just walked up, and being a Caucasian, he just was totally nice to me. And he just asked for my license and registration.
Uh-huh.
And then he went back, and it takes half an hour. Getting a ticket takes a long time because they run the plates. Another police officer pulled up next to him, and I said, "My God, what did they find?" I thought they were calling in reinforcements to corral Jeff Calkins. And another car pulled up. At one point, there were three officers with blue lights behind me. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Now, am I going to get taken down?
We got Calkins.
those two drove up.
Calkins, make him sweat.
I got
make
a ticket
sweat.
For failure to maintain whatever. And I honestly thought it was kind of chicken-ass to give me a ticket. Like,
what?
I wasn't doing anything egregious, right? I was just perhaps driving slightly erratically. And it would have made sense to pull me over in case I was drunk. I was thinking, but then he told me, I said, so I looked at what it said. He said, yeah, he said, I had to leave the road in order for you not to hit me. So then it seemed justified. I said, okay, officer, I apologize.
In fairness, though, because you were looking at your phone, you had no idea whether or not that's true.
At that point,
it's your word versus his.
At that point, I apologized to him. I had ran.
People don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college.
So, and now I have to pay the fine or go or miss a morning of radio. I may miss a morning of radio. Jeffrey, it's all up to you. You got it while I go stand.
By the way, whatever happened to that jury duty?
Court costs. I got that pushed off till April.
Okay.
I have a week of jury duty coming up in April. Anyway, so I apologize to all police officers if I've ever run any of the rest of you off the road. That's the wrong person to try to run off the road, though, a guy with the blue lights.
It's bold.
It's not the right way to go. So, oh, gosh. So, anyway, so I lost a half hour. Filed a column last night. We have today on the show, Jason Smith's going to come in here in just a moment. Jason was there last night. He's an adorable son. That was fun to see. And Chris Harrington, of course, will join us at 10 o'clock. Talk about the Grizzlies and the NBA. And we also have a couple of other really important things we have to get to. One is Jeffrey's going to pick the NFL games, but he's not going to recommend that you invest your money on the picks. There's an important caveat to this week's picks. And then also, Ron Olson, I don't want you to, if you know the answer, don't say it.
Okay.
Because I want to tease it like a radio professional. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to try to pretend I'm a radio professional here.
Okay. Hang on, let me close my eyes.
Ron Olson came in here and he gave me a piece that answered the critical question.
Okay.
What's riskier in terms of germs? Double dipping or the 5-second rule?
Ooh.
Which is riskier? Double dipping.
I do not know the answer, so do you still want me to guess?
If you don't know the answer, I'll allow you to guess. I will not tell you the answer because it's a radio professional.
Okay.
I'm going to build in the suspense and at some point during the show, I'll reveal the answer. And then people will be free to go about their lives.
My guess is going to be the double dip because I think hands are probably dirty.
You don't get your hands aren't. If you double dip, your hands aren't in the dip. I think sticking your fingers, your hands. The only thing that's involved in the dip is you take the chip.
Mm-hmm.
You dip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You then bite.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Seinfeld. I'm aware.
And then you dip again.
Mm-hmm.
The hand isn't involved in the. That wouldn't be where
your hands are very close to the dip.
Yeah, but the place where the mouth is where you're. It's how much of bacteria. The question would be, how much bacteria or bad gunk comes up off the floor in the 5-second rule, or versus how much when you bite into a chip, how much bacteria do you leave when the chip departs your mouth back into the bowl for the second dip.
The fact that you're chastising me like this lets me know that I'm right.
No. I'm pointing out
the flaws in my logic. Not
the flaws in your logic.
I'm not a logic guy. I'm a gut guy.
I'm pointing out that the hands have nothing to do with it.
They're very close to the dip. Right.
The germs aren't leaping from your fingers into the dip. They're not, okay, we're in safe range.
Mm-hmm.
Jump now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not how the bacteria operate.
You never know. What if it's a tasty dip? What if they want to get in on that too?
I actually think, I will give you the answer to this later in the show as a radio professional, but I think that, I think it's totally dependent on what you drop the 5-second rule into.
Well, yes. Like if you're dropping it at my parents' house, you can lick off their floor. Yes,
Whereas if you drop it at my parents' house, you're probably dead. If you drop it at my parents' house, you are likely to be killed.
Cigarette ashes, raccoon droppings.
I made a discovery this Christmas. We have to get to the sports show in just a moment.
Really?
My mom is at age 95. Has given up smoking.
What? How many years?
When do you think
she started?
Probably 16 or 15.
Yeah, I was saying, because I know my grandmother was around 15 or 16.
You know, I didn't really realize this. I just was driving home with the kids and I said, you know, I didn't notice any smoke.
Surprise!
Because she's just in the kitchen and smokes and reads books. That's all she can really do now. And so I said, And then I asked my sister, and my sister said, this is how observant I am. Oh, yeah, she stopped a year and a half ago.
So not even this. She stopped last Christmas, but she didn't notice it. It took you two Christmases to notice.
She stopped at age 94. She stopped smoking. It's never too late, ladies and gentlemen. She stopped at age 94 smoking. Okay, onward. So last night was interesting. Too interesting. As the Memphis Tigers took on the East Carolina Pirates. Steve Roccaforte, by the way, former Memphis assistant, now with East Carolina, actually resembles a pirate. He has long silver hair. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could be Wyatt Earp's brother Virgil. You know,
I know everyone at home is nodding.
I did Google Virgil, and actually Virgil was bald. So, but in your mind, the Western guy who has the long silver hair, that's what Steve Roccaforte looks like. Anyway, Penny Hardaway started all the seniors. He was discouraged with how the freshmen were competing. He was trying to push some buttons. He was trying to send a lesson, and so he sent out an all-senior lineup. This seems reasonable. This resulted. I actually thought it was going to work. First of all, you're playing.
I agree.
First, you're playing East Carolina, so I thought anything was going to work.
Well, and on top of that, they lost last year at East Carolina.
Right. I thought it was going to work. I really did. And yet the next thing you know, you look up and they're down 33-18. They're down 15 points. I go doomsday in this situation. I assume they're going to lose, right? And others were like, if you could keep it within 10.
At the end of the day, they're not a good team.
By the half, they'll win this game. And sure enough, they did. It required Antoine Jones came in and had a sequence where he was unbelievable. 2 3-pointers, a block shot, forcing a jump ball, which went Memphis's way. It was just a tremendous sequence from Antoine Jones in there. He ended up with 10 points. Tyler Harris ended up with 16. So the kids who got benched came in and provided the necessary spark. But honestly, it was the kind of game where it was kind of hard to know what to write about, really, because close escape, whatever. There were
16-point favorites.
Until Penny Hardaway came into the press room and just laid out everybody, pretty much, but especially the seniors. Just laid them out. And it is a reminder, as if we needed it at this point, that Penny Hardaway does not talk like other coaches. he just does not talk like other coaches. Now you can make an argument. I'll let y'all listen to this. We're going to listen to the entire press conference. Someone said, oh, blaming the players on Twitter. They said to me, oh, blaming the players, bold move, like that. Like, or is it just searingly straight, honest talk? Or is it, I mean, I can see that after, if like when Josh would say, what am I supposed to do? The players didn't hit shots, and blame the players, you'd get right for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that argument. What I find remarkable about the entire thing is how Penny is doing everything he can, pushing all the buttons he can push to try to get this team to play the way he wants them to play, to try to establish, you'll hear it in just a moment, to try to establish the culture that he wants to establish. And it's not that it's not working, but it's harder than he, I think, thought. And you can hear the frustration in his voice. He is not pleased, and it is a continuing effort to try to get this team to play with the edge and the intensity that he wants. How often have you heard him say, we have to punch first? That is one of the things you hear him. And yet every single game, it feels like, all the early punches are incoming. So it's remarkable, the disconnect between what he, and at some level, after a while, part of coaching is not just teaching them the right things, but it's getting them to do those things, right? Like it's the old, don't tell me about the labor pain, show me the baby.
Right.
Right. I'm not to the show me the baby status with Penny Hardaway at all. Like, I don't even expect a baby this year. But it was a remarkable press conference, and it was remarkable because every single journalist in there, particularly those who had the written word, and that's so John was in there. John Martin was writing for The Athletic today, last night. Mark Giannata was in there. Drew Hill was in there. I was in there. Don Wade from the Daily Memphian, his story also up at the Daily Memphian. All these people basically had nothing particular to write about, and then we walk out and it's, whoa, that solved that. Because it's just, he just is not like any other coach in the way that he talks about his team. And maybe I've built it up too much because it wasn't a screaming ranting. It's just straightforward, blunt Penny Hardaway. And so here, without further ado, is the Penny Hardaway presser.
At the end of the day, it's a win. We'll take those. It just shows how hard it is to win in our league. Took the two freshmen out of the starting lineup for two seniors because the freshmen were kind of being more lax and wasn't working hard and was having to be pushed all day in practice. And I said to both of them, until you show me that you really want this, then you guys got to come out of the lineup. You can't come to practice, you know, half-assed and going through the motions, and we're trying to get better. And how you practice is how you play. And they took the challenge because it happened a couple days ago and started working harder and then came into the game and were a big part of winning this game. But I can say that I'm really disappointed in the seniors in starting this game and falling from behind early.
Oh, Antoine Jones comes in the second half, knocks down two threes, gets a big block. And it seems like the guys really feeds off the energy that he brings to this team. Talk a little bit about what Antoine brings when he comes into the game.
Yeah, Antoine is a great basketball talent. His thing is not about the physical, it's about the mental. He has days and weeks where he just doesn't want to work hard. He wants to go through the motions, and then he has to be, you know, pushed to a point to where you just got to, come on, Antoine, we need you, we need you, we need you. But his talent is second to none on his team. He does great things for us. He makes plays, he knocks down shots, he can post up. It's just to keep the mental going strong. He does a lot for our team.
Coach, do you think you got the message across to the freshmen about the lineup, or will you be sticking with the seniors going forward?
I think the message is clear to the freshmen, and I'm glad they responded the way that they were supposed to, because we're trying to make them better. It's not punishment. We're trying to create a culture around here where we're working hard every second, every minute that we're in that practice facility and when we're on the court. has nothing to do with punishing them about basketball. It's about the mindset that we got to have if we want to win championships, and that's my first class. We got to build on that. You know what I mean? And we can't. They're coming back next year, and I want them to be able to tell the guys that are coming in, hey, this is the way we do it around here, and we have to work. So we have to set the standard.
Coach, going into this game, you guys knew ECU was going to, you know, be feeling good after beating Cincinnati. How frustrating is it, and how do you explain the lack of hustle or effort to start the game that the players kind of said they just didn't have energy?
It's hard to answer that because I'm so competitive. I have to really think about that because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But at the end of the day, I went with a group of kids that started pretty much every game last year. And we put the team in their hands because we felt like we had it in good hands. And for five seniors to come out and not start with any energy, after understanding not making the NCAA tournament last year, not making the NIT, I mean, that speaks volumes.
Coach, how is the team chemistry going so far this year, and what can be done to improve it, make it even better going forward for the rest of the year?
The team chemistry is getting better. It's been a little rocky. It's been more individual, and maybe not for selfish reasons, but to basically try to win the game. Everybody's going into the game to figure out how to win the game by themselves, and this is a team game. Moving forward, it's not going to move forward without the seniors. You know, they're the guys that have seen this league, you know, last year, and they understand what's going on. And they have to definitely, you know, talk to the freshmen and the guys that haven't been here. And I just don't know if they're doing a good job of that. Maybe they feel like they can do it on their own as five seniors, but you can't. You got to do it as a team. So moving forward, it's going to be on the seniors. We're coaching, we're teaching, we're having them as prepared as any team can be prepared. But those guys have to lead us.
Penny, two things. It wasn't the Houston game, it was more practice afterwards that inspired the change? Is that pulling the freshmen?
Yeah, it's been ongoing all year, and we've just kind of not ignored it, but we pushed. And we're talking about the culture that starts in practice that we want to carry over into the games. And I think the freshmen feel like there's no separation between them and the seniors, so they can kind of go through the motions. And I don't want them going through the motions because we all have to have the mindset, even if you're a freshman, just be leaders. And when they get lazy, not wanting to work, feeling like everything is set because they're going to play, then you have to send a reality check. And it's just right now for the freshmen, they need to get better. They need to get better everywhere. But they are gamers. They came in the game and did what they had to do, but we got to get them to practicing harder and doing the things that they have to do.
Did you feel like what you did worked because they came in and played so well, but it didn't work in the sense that the seniors didn't provide what you wanted them to? So
I think my message was clear, and the freshmen, it happened a couple of days ago, they've responded big time. In practice, the practices got more competitive. They got upset. It woke them up. So it did exactly what I wanted it to do, what I needed it to do. The seniors not showing up, that's shame on the seniors.
Coach, do you feel as though your players communicate enough with each other on the court? And if not, what more do they need to do?
No, we don't. You got to be one beat, one sound out there, and that's especially on the defensive end. And there's a lot of guys hustling, don't get me wrong, but they're not talking. And when you don't talk, it makes it slower. It makes two guys go to one man. It makes the rotations, you know, way slower. And we're not good enough defensively not to be communicating. And that's all we talk about all day and all night. And I had to tell my team, you know, at some point, it's going to be on the seniors. The coaches, you know, it's going to fall on deaf ears. It has to come from the seniors. The seniors have to want to do it first.
Penny, do you have an update on Alo?
I do not have an update. I'm sure just from seeing him that he was a little dizzy. You know, we weren't going to take a chance from putting him back in the game, and that was a big blow for us because he's one of our better defenders and one of our best playmakers. So, but as far as health, I do not have an update.
Did they tell you concussion at any point for Alo?
No one told me anything. I didn't even ask because I wanted him to be taken care of. I didn't ask yet. I'll ask when I go back there now. But I didn't go to anybody and say, hey, what's the deal with Alo? I didn't do that after the game.
At the point East Carolina was up 33-18, you looked pretty calm. And Kareem even said that, you know, when they look at you guys never look like you're worried. Were you worried at all at that point?
I wasn't worried because it was still early, and I saw what was going on. It wasn't anything that, you know, East Carolina came out and had energy and punched us first, but it was more what we were doing to ourselves. what we were doing offensively and defensively. It just has to be a mindset that has to change over. We've been trying to put this mindset in since last June. We have to get a different mindset if we really want it. They have to show that they really want it. And we didn't early. So I'm never going to panic. I'm not going to put my team in a position where they see me over there, you know, jumping up and down, because I'm in thinking mode and trying to figure the game out to try to get a win. And it was too early in the game.
Coach, what did you see from this game that you can try and carry over into Tulane?
Man, it just is what it is with us. The thing that I saw from this game is what we've seen the games that we've lost to all the big teams, is that the energy level is not maxing out at the beginning, and that's what you have to have when going on the road and at home. If you want to put teams away early, you have to come out with that energy, and if you want to sustain any run or keep the crowd out of the game on the road, you have to bring it. It's just energy.
Penny, is this more than you've had to push a team in your coaching career? You know, it seems like you're every couple games you're having to kind of give these guys a kick in the pants.
But yeah, it is. It's a motivational speech from myself every day. At the beginning of practice, at the end of practice, it's kind of falling on deaf ears, like I said, but it's the most I've had to push a group in my career for sure.
Penny, I know you're an even-keeled guy, but today Sam was giving it to him in that timeout. Was it nice to have a guy like that on a night like
this?
Well,
yeah, we all bring different things to the table, but it was his scout. He knew we had him well prepared. Everything that East Carolina did, we were ready for it. We knew. And then to allow them to do it, that's disheartening to a coach that has to stay up watching hours upon hours of tape, bring in a great game plan and give the game plan. And then the kids go out there and don't have the energy to, you know, to pull it off. So he was frustrated because it was his scout. It kind of falls back on him because he's the guy that's putting the game plan in that game. But it does help to have good cop, bad cop, you know, all around. It just does. I do all my yelling and screaming in practice. During the games, I'm in thinking mode.
Hey, Penny, a quick turnaround from this game into the game on Sunday. How quickly do you evaluate this game and then switch over to Tulane on Sunday so you don't take them for granted?
No, I'm never going to take a team for granted. I've been watching Tulane since the beginning of the season. I've been watching all the teams in our conference. So, I mean, they're getting better and better every game. Their record doesn't indicate how well they're going to play, especially at home. They don't have a huge crowd. They don't get sellout crowds, but those kids play hard. And Coach Dunleavy, being a former NBA coach, NBA great, I mean, we've given them enough ammunition. You know, off 19 offensive rebounds this game, 18 offensive rebounds the last game. We don't want people, and that's what they're saying, all you have to do is just play hard and crash the glass. You'll have an opportunity to beat Memphis. And it is what it is with us. We have to go into the game and play tough. It's not about X's and O's, who starts, who doesn't start. Every guy that steps on that floor for 40 minutes or the time that you get on the floor has to be all out.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So there it is from Penny Hardaway. It's fairly remarkable, isn't it? I mean, he just lays them out there. It's the quote in particular was the one about the seniors. He said they should be ashamed. And he basically says, listen, this is a group that could not get to the NCAA tournament last year. They could not get to the NIT last year. And for them to come out and play like that, it speaks volumes. That was the quote. Is that throwing the seniors under the bus? Is that lighting a fire under the seniors? Is that, I think what it, like, the amazing thing is he spoke all week about the need for competitiveness, and that's the effort he got.
I don't feel like it was throwing them under the bus because he was questioning effort. Like, to me, when you throw a team under the bus, it's
under the bus
like,
either.
Well, you know, I can't make the plays. You know what I mean? Like, that's that to me, when I think of a coach throwing kids under the bus, it's specifically referring to specific plays and saying, well, you know, I called the right thing. They just didn't execute.
Right.
He was questioning effort.
That guy, why he made that pass, I don't know.
Right. He was questioning effort.
Right. The guy was open. Why he didn't make the like that something like that, right? But you're right. He's just saying this is inexcusable that they didn't play harder. I think it was. I also think it's the closest Penny has ever. Like, in the end, Gary says this all the time, talks about the roster, right? And Gary, I was listening to Gary the other day. He said, listen, if Penny would talk honestly to you, just totally, like unvarnished, whatever, just talking off the air, he would say, listen, what do you want? Like, this is the roster I have. He's not that honest, right? But that was, to me, almost the closest that he has come to saying, I started the five seniors, man. Look what I got. like, look what was here, right? It was the closest he's come to saying that. It was fairly remarkable, and it's just because other coaches don't talk like that. He is, and I hope it works, and I applaud him for it because it is incredibly refreshing. And we'll see how the team responds against Tulane. Jason Smith was there last night. We will talk to him coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. So I went to Bounty the other day. You know, the farm-to-table restaurant on Broad. It was unforgettable. I had the fried oysters because I always have the fried oysters, which are seriously the best I've ever had. I had the lamb ribs, which are unbelievable, even in a town where ribs are usually associated with pork. I skipped the pork shank because you can't have everything, although it is fall-off-the-bone good. But I did have the Brussels sprouts and the eggplant lasagna and the key lime pie, which is one of the best, most underrated desserts in town. The point is this. Go to Bounty. Everything is sourced from local farmers. Everything is then prepared with extraordinary care, and then everything is served in a high-beamed restaurant, which is so open and beautiful, it makes you feel good about being in the place. Or just stop by the bar if you prefer. The cocktails are as well-crafted as the food. Bounty opens at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. If you like farm-to-table excellence, Bounty is for you. It's located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Learn more online or just call them at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is always on the cutting edge, and you've done it again.
We've brought you a new choice in diamonds. We've got altar-created diamonds exclusively at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and what that does for you is give you the opportunity to save 25 to 30% and get a bigger and brighter diamond.
And how is that possible?
Altar-created diamonds are grown above ground, making them environmentally friendly and 100% conflict-free.
Howie, can you tell the difference?
What difference? They're both diamonds. See for yourself only at Robert Irwin Jewelers with free financing.
Hey, babe, you know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
Warm up your cold winter days with hot deals during Aaron's Winter Warm-Up. Yes, hot deals on living rooms, TVs, and even washers and dryers with no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Plus, this hot offer from January 11th to the 15th. Just $1 gets you started leasing to own, and then no payments until February 15th. Start with just $1 at participating stores or Aaron's.com and enjoy Aaron's Winter Warm-Up now while the deals are still hot. Transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
It's funny how things can multiply, like cold weather. One minute, a few snowflakes fall. The next, you need a snowblower just to find your feet. Or tardiness.
We're working.
Run 2 minutes late in the morning and you're a half hour late to work.
Come on.
But good things come from multiplying too, like the new Multiplier Instant Games, which give you a chance to multiply your winnings. So go ahead, enjoy the good kind of multiplying today with the new Multiplier Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Fun. 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 I smell the newest Jumbo One, with a chance at a $4 million top prize. It's so big, you can play both sides.
Jumbo Bucks 300X. Good news, you don't need magic beans to meet this giant. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, giant-sized fun. Please play responsibly.
Now at Kroger, you can earn 2 fuel points instead of 1 for every dollar you spend. Just activate your Kroger Fuel VIP membership for $40 a year. Exclusions apply at Kroger.
It all starts with just one thing. This year, resolve to use your car less. You can carpool to work a few days a week, use public transportation like buses and trains, and walk any distance under a mile. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You did everything you needed on the holidays, bought everything for everybody else. Now, get yourself a new computer. Walk in there, say, you know what? I'd like a MacBook Air. What do you got? Lee and Lauren Cooper? Or you say, I don't want, you want, I'd like a Dell or an Apple, a HP, a Lenovo. What do you got? And they'll show you what they have, and you'll discover that it's about half the price that you'll pay anywhere else. And they'll set you up, and you walk out of there, and you'll have a new or refurbished computer that you will use every day for the entirety of 2019. It will put a kick in your life, efficiency, quicker, smarter, all year long. And again, at about half the price that you'll pay at a big box store. You get the kind of service that you used to think about in America. Lee and Lauren will be there. They will show you what they got. They have a crack team of repair folks. If you ever run into that, if you ever have a crack screen, or you need data recovery issues, or you got viruses, they'll help you there. This is honestly true. The Apple Store refers people to Lee and Lauren Cooper if they don't want to deal with it, because they can take care of you, whether it's getting something new or whether it is fixing up an old computer. So go give them a call or go visit Lee and Lauren Cooper. The phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. You can stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah office park. That music means two things. It means Jason Smith is sitting here across from me.
Hello.
And it means the Bears lost.
It sure does. Boy, was that confident.
I thought about
Friday doing
the Alan Parsons, Serious Eye, you know, the Bulls intro, but then I realized you probably don't want to really think about the Bulls either.
No, we're tank masters right now.
Yeah.
The Bulls.
But you're doing that well. So I saw you there once again, living the high life, and this time.
Irish Mike's a good man.
You were there with. You always bring someone younger and less mature, and sort of well to show done. Them the ropes. Last time, it was John Martin, age 27.
Yep.
This time, it was Christopher.
I believe you said John had the S-eating grin. Did Christopher have the S-eating grin last night? Or have you looked over?
He looked like he looked much more like he belonged in that crowd.
He did,
honestly,
yeah. He
there
did.
Was Jason, and there was Alan Graf, and there was Christopher, age 4, and you said. He was into it.
Oh, all the way in. He was angry in the first half when they were down 15. He said, Dad, they're going to lose. He didn't come. I mean, that's, you know, most people probably questioning my parenting if you were really watching. I mean, the kid's 4. Game starts at 8. Yeah, I think Christopher's bedtime's 8 o'clock. I mean, you got to be up, you know.
You don't get to sit in those seats every day.
Though. Exactly. That's why we. And, man, did he love it. I mean, he wanted, you know, people were standing up, obviously, to start. You don't sit down at a Tigers game if you're a fan.
Until they score.
Until they score. So the first one was a free throw. Learning about that, seeing the first streamers come down when they score. Every little detail.
Had he never been to a game before?
No. And not that close. He goes Grizzlies all the time.
Right.
But never that close on either. And so every little detail that we probably take for granted now, us old guys that have been in there a bunch of times, he's picking up on everything. And he's asking about it. And so it takes you, you know, it's a whole different way you get it as
you
a father
him,
it's a different way of enjoying it because all of a sudden you're looking at it again through his lens.
Well,
through his lens,
right, and so right there, right there,
it was fun. He's learning names, and even Allgood was like he turned around with Goodfellow, excuse me, you know, Allgood Auto Sales,
right.
I call
yes.
him Allgood. Goodfellow turned around and was like, how old's your boy? 4. He's pretty
sharp. The way that he was breaking it down,
probably thinking about putting him in a commercial. You know, good, yeah, maybe so.
He would look great in a commercial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He uses kids in commercials. Maybe that's what he was doing. He was sizing CJ up.
He would look great in a commercial.
Sizing CJ up. No, it was a good time. And I tell you what, thank goodness the Tigers came back and won because Chris would have been mad. He would have been a mad little tired boy there at the end
let
of the
me,
night.
The Penny thing afterwards was remarkable.
Yes, it was.
And I'm not going to play the whole thing again. But this was the little snippet where he was the roughest on the seniors. Mm-hmm. It's just about 15 seconds or something. Here it is.
How frustrating is it, and how do you explain the lack of hustle or effort to start the game that the players kind of said they just didn't have energy?
It's hard to answer that because I'm so competitive. I have to really think about that because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But at the end of the day, I went with a group of kids that started pretty much every game last year. And we put the team in their hands because we felt like we had it in good hands. And for five seniors to come out and not start with any energy after understanding not making the NCAA tournament last year, not making the NIT, I mean, it speaks volumes.
There it is. Go. What say you?
Here's the deal. I've seen Penny lay folks out. I saw him lay out his East team. I told you about that in summer.
You told me a long time ago. He really laid him out.
He's telling you right there at the beginning the answer to that question. Look, I got to pull back. I'm so competitive, and that's the reason.
Oh, you heard him pause.
Yeah,
first, before he said anything, he paused, and then he said, "I got to be careful."
Because if he was speaking his mind, and it was closed doors, and it's just you and him in there. He'd go down the list one by one of how each guy probably, let him down. And it's to him, it's not throwing a kid under the bus. It's what this kid's not doing. It's the honest, to him, it's the honest
it
basketball
is, it
truth.
Is. It didn't feel like,
right?
quote unquote, throwing a kid
under.
Because he wasn't trying to absolve
and
himself.
So I thought that you saw him restraining himself sort of in the answer there verbally. And I thought that was mild. And it was about the best he was going to do at that point. I thought, good job, Penny. And he was telling the truth. Let's be for real. You put your seniors out there against an East Carolina team that I know, beat Cincinnati at home. But that is a team that's 300-some in the country offensively. That's
right.
A team that has no business on the floor with you on the road. They just went to SMU and lost by 28, okay? So your seniors are out there, and they're flexing on – did you see the one of the ECU kids is literally doing the flex in front of Memphis's bench? Penny's embarrassed. And it was an excusable start. I'm sitting here thinking, well,
at
if you start
they're
keeping
going
down,
the guy takes it and goes coast to coast, unimpeded, for a layup. The defensive effort was
I sat
astounding.
There and watched that from those seniors and watched them get pushed around and start that game and thought, man, this looks like Memphis doesn't have a weight room right now. And these are the seniors. And so I feel I get where the frustration's coming. I see a lot of people, I heard you mention it too, that are saying, whoa, here's Penny, first year, throwing players under the bus. And last night, I thought, if you look at that and you listen to that answer, he was about to kill him, and he pulled back, and I think in doing so, he, again, there's Penny the competitor, right? He did it all. He told you. I put myself up there with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant in terms of competitiveness. So when it comes to analyzing these guys, I've got to pull back sometimes. There's that, so he's trying to pull back. And then there's Penny who's learning first time through what I should say publicly. And what I shouldn't say publicly as a Division I college head coach. There is a line when it comes to throwing kids under a bus. Last night, that line was right in front of him, and he didn't cross it. I thought he was very honest. It tells you a lot about him. That's why you go to a Penny press conference, because you're not going to hear the usual
BS. Just whatever. No.
He's going to give you the real.
I thought it was holding people. There's it's a fine line between holding
Jeff.
Accountable
no, I think you're
and
right.
throwing under the bus. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was holding accountable.
It's clearly a man that
and,
was frustrated and
it was interesting. You saw a lot of not diving on the floor for loose balls.
No question.
You saw unbelievably careless passing. Kareem Bruton was – he actually, I think, shot pretty well.
I saw it from Jeremiah, too, the passing that you're talking about. Trying to throw it inside just throws one away. But, yes, those were your seniors, again, just throwing the ball away.
He was 5 of 5 from the floor, mm-hmm. and he had that one unbelievable moon –
They go, and they at a crucial time.
At a crucial time. So he was important in the end.
Yeah.
But the tone that they set, you would think particularly, honestly, with Kevin and Kareem, who probably think they should be starters.
Well, Kevin said, we've gone back and forth with that.
Right.
He said, I'm fine.
I'm sure they're fine.
I've said all year long, why don't you put Kevin in so you can stop with these slow starts? And there he's in last night, and they still get off to a slow start. It's the entire senior lineup. A lineup you wouldn't expect to do that. A lineup you would...
I thought they were going to come out and destroy it.
Me too. I did. And so I sense why he's so frustrated again. Freshmen are going to be up and down. These are the guys that are supposed to be your rocks, and these are the guys that won 21 games last year. I know it's a different style, different coach. But I suppose with the way practice has gone the last couple of days, Penny's as frustrated with the freshmen those last couple of days. He's putting it on his seniors. They don't come through for him. You know, double the frustration. The good thing for them, those freshmen seem to answer the call, and you got good performances from Antoine Jones and from Tyler Harris.
That sequence from Antoine Jones.
Yes, it shows you what a difference maker he can be. It changed, to me, it changed the momentum in the game right there. Right. Like it got it back for Memphis. What is it, two straight threes, an offensive rebound in traffic, and a block.
And forcing the jump ball, all of that. And then he gets to the jump ball. He's at one point, he scored 10 of 11 points with a block.
Crowd gets up. It's in the game. One man's gotten everybody back in the game with his effort. And all of a sudden, it's got the team back. And that's powerful when one guy can do that. He's special.
At one point.
Ups and downs. I know where you're going, I bet.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say at the one point, he was literally playing man-to-man when the rest of the team was playing zone. Mm. Like, he's still lost sometimes. Yeah.
And there was one point I saw, Bennett pointed out he sent it to me in a text while I was at the game. I hadn't seen it. I went back home to watch it. It looks like there's a point where it gets really frustrating with him, whether he's trying to call they want a timeout.
Right.
And he's saying it at the ref.
Right.
But Penny and Sarah said, no, you got to make the sign. And he's mad at the ref for not giving it to him. And they're like, dude, you can't look at the ref like that. Like,
and he just threw the ball away.
Yes. And they're
pulling it. And he's lucky he got the timeout.
I looked at it. Everybody in press row was like, holy God, Antoine better calm down. And so that's the freshman season.
They're lucky they got the timeout on that.
You could write a book just on Antoine Jones' freshman season.
He is something.
It's something else.
He is something. It's an event. Okay. So what do you make, though, of the their defensive deficiencies. Until they went to the zone, they were just getting carved up by a bad offensive team.
So many.
And is that effort, or is that why can't they guard? And that's been a consistent all year thing.
Most teams have a guy who helps you when you make mistakes, and that's the guy in the back. It's the rim protector. And so that covers up mistakes. This one doesn't have it. And so we see these mistakes, and it's so obvious because they have no one back there that can block a shot. Isaiah Maurice, occasionally can get the wall up and stop somebody, but it's not the usual guy. And so the flaws are more exposed. You see them because they don't have anybody. You don't have a DJ Steffens or something back there, or an Austin Nichols had a couple of good years back there swatting stuff, mistakes.
So you think basically, as soon as James Wiseman gets here, that'll be fixed?
Well, that's always been the knock on him. That said, we saw him this weekend, and Evan Daniels wrote it. We had him on last week. That is where he's improved the most. He realizes that everybody's told him that for more than a year now, and he is playing angry defensively and becoming that. And so that will help next year. Does it solve it? No, but Lance Thomas, another active big, a guy who's not a big-time pure shot blocker, but is a guy that can help protect the rim because he's athletic. You'll have more of that next year, certainly a lot more of it than you do now. And that's push you around. You'll look, inside.
You'll have to pay a price.
Yes, you'll have more threats in there. People won't be as eager to go inside on Memphis. You keep hearing Penny say, folks got the book on us now. And that's what it is. Go in there and push them around. What was it, offensive rebounds last night for East Carolina, 13? I think that ended up being the overall rebounding margin in the game was the 13 more offensive rebounds that ECU had. 13 offensive rebounds. That's what I'm saying. Early on in the first half, they're pushing you around. And I think when you hear Penny consistently say, okay, folks know us now, they're saying, well, you can expose Memphis inside. And that's what's been happening.
It's not 13, it's 19.
13 more offensive rebounds than Memphis.
Right.
So
yes,
19-6.
Right. Yeah, it was 19-6.
Yes, 19
exactly
offensive
right
rebounds, well, 13 more than Memphis, and that's the difference. I think 44-31 overall. You cannot let a team pound you like that. That's the book that Penny's talking about that's out on them right now. They're not a physical ball club. And again, last night you put your seniors out there, the guys that you would expect to, if you're going to be decently physical, those are the guys that got to do it, and they get pushed around, and you got a hot Penny after a win. Good thing you get the win, though, because again, most teams this time of year have got one that they can point and say, oh, man, you shouldn't have lost that one.
That could have been them
last night. It didn't happen again.
There hasn't been one yet.
Yeah, since he's, regretting what it did. I mean, there's a bunch of these all over the country. Most teams have one by this point. They don't. Will they probably get one? Yeah, the way they're playing right now looks like it. But that's the best thing they got going for them right now.
If they do what they did last night on a road, then they'll lose one that they
You
should.
Go to Tulane, lose.
Stop playing like that. Yeah. Even it's
haven't had one of those yet.
Yeah. It's interesting because against Houston, his big points of emphasis was
physicality.
That Houston physicality, and Houston got 21 more shots than Memphis. Well, you look up last night, and the shots were 70 for East Carolina, 52 for Memphis.
Your 19 offensive rebounds. That's where that comes from.
18 more
And that's what he's
shots.
Talking about with the physicality. And so that is, he talked about that after, from the moment after the Houston loss until the presser that you were at too, the availability right before the day before the game, he's talking about we got pushed around. We got to be more physical. And so to come out again to respond like they did last night, it happens again against a much worse, you know, a bad East Carolina team. Whoa, we just went through this. And so that was the frustration. Again, I give Penny credit because I'm sure he wanted to cross that line. He told you so. But he pulled back. And he just, like you said, I thought it was holding guys accountable rather than throwing them under the bus.
I'm curious about this. What's the feeling, because we are over there on press row, and mm-hmm. we don't get to see the game the way you saw it. What is the vibe in the stands? Like, it is fun. Like, I commented last night that, I mean, I thought to myself, you wouldn't have wanted the game to be that close. Like, you wanted to blow them out.
Right.
But because it was close, it was interesting. And at the end, everyone was up on their feet. And it's a late game. It's a mod. It wasn't the biggest crowd of the season by any stretch. You still get the sense it's a pretty good vibe. What's the vibe like?
Oh, it's
now, you were sitting with the hoi polloi. So maybe, but what was the, like, what's it feel like in the stands?
When they're down 15. You look at the average fan in a Memphis game when they're down 15 under Penny Hardaway, it's just like when they were down 15 under Tubby. I mean, you're killing guys on the floor. What are you doing? And you're looking, what's going on? Go to some zone. I mean, you know what I mean? Right. It's
an educated group.
It's a dumpster set, fire, right? Right. I mean, we know bad basketball. Yeah. We don't care who the coach. And so when it's bad, we'll tell you. But the difference is now you got, you know, 14, 15,000 in there. And the moment you turn it around, like we talked about with Antoine Jones, oh, back, boom, everybody's back in the game standing up, and that's the advantage, you know, that sort of, whether it's ground house for the Grizzlies or, you know, just for the, you know, a full FedEx Forum for the Tigers, that's the advantage you can have, and that's the difference now. You've got that back, and so a couple of, you know, effort plays can get the crowd behind you, and that's a real thing for this Tigers team when people are into that program. They're back in. That's the difference. You and I have said this since the opening game. You can see the enthusiasm in people, and the moment something positive happens, boom, it's back, and you're clapping, and that's fun to see again. It's a different vibe, completely different vibe.
All right, and are you willing to forgive and forget Cody Parkey or not?
Yes, because it was blocked.
But
so
that's because it was low.
Nah, stop. You got to put more. Nagy should have done better with timeouts. That's a rookie coach that struggled with timeouts. You didn't have to burn the last one, 30-something seconds left. Mitch could have spiked the ball. You do the same thing there. You would have had second down. You can't put that all on Cody Parkey. That said, oh, you know, good morning, America, or whatever it is, or USA
say,
Today
for
a kicker. Like, give me a break.
He went on the Today Show. Would you have gone on the Today Show, or you just stayed in hiding?
Look,
what
a lot
do?
Of people are praising him for, and I don't know how much you've or read about this or seen this, but his faith. I don't know if you saw, and I don't know how much of this is part of the reason they invited him on, but after he misses the kick, and I thought this was powerful. People sent it to me. Mm-hmm. He points up.
Right.
He points up to the low. And I'm telling you right now, I mean, you know me. I mean, I'm trying.
Right.
You know, I'm trying. But I'm not sure, Jeff, in that moment, if I could have looked up to God. He wasn't looking up and saying, God dang you. He wasn't.
Saying it's,
he was doing it just like he does after a win. I mean, just like he does after a make.
Right.
It's praise. It's for being there. And that, in that moment, so I can't hate on Cody Parkey for a guy that's supposed to be, right, trying to get better and stronger in the faith. I give him all the credit in the world. I'm not sure I could have done that.
Jason, thank you very much.
Appreciate
we will
you,
we'll be listening at 11 o'clock. Join Jason and John at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, if you have cracks in the walls of your home, if your floors are sinking or sloping even just a little bit or sinking, if you've got water that's coming into your crawl space or that is coming into your garage or, God forbid, is coming into your basement. You know who to call at this point. Call Redeemers Group, 541-8765, 541-8765. It's a Memphis company. It's been serving the Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade. They handle all the important stuff. Basement waterproofing, concrete leveling, crawl space repair, foundation repair, and their expert assessment is 100% free of charge. Just got to give them a call, 541-8765. They will send an expert to your house. They will not tell you, Mr. Calkins, this is going to be $125 for the visit. But if you go ahead with the repair, it will not, we will apply it against the We will apply it against the cost of the repair. No. That's not how they work. They're not. That's essentially it's blackmailing and you're into paying. No, that's so that they will send the expert to your home, and set up an appointment. Send the expert to your home. They will tell you what's going on. Maybe you got no problem at all. If you got no problem at all, that's great. You can sleep easy at night knowing you got no problem at all because the experts from Redeemers Group have let you know you have no problem at all. If there is a problem, you can tell them my name, Jeff Calkins, and you will get an additional $50 off the repair project. Again, the whole enterprise does not cost you a single penny. There is absolutely no harm in calling. No expense in calling. Call or bring an expert from Redeemers Group out to your house to evaluate the situation. The phone number is 541-8765, 541-8765. It's on the web at redeemersgroup.com. Jeffrey, if you had missed an important kick to have your team eliminated from the playoffs, would you go on the Today Show to talk about it?
No, unless they're giving me an appearance fee, because then I'm your boy's for sale.
But put aside the appearance fee.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But you could argue he's just facing it. He's just, here's what's weird. Like, one of the things he said is he's avoiding social media, right? Well, I think it's smart to avoid social media. But he's not avoiding the spotlight very clearly.
No, and I do think Jason is right. He does view it as an opportunity to share his faith, and he does seem to be somewhat genuine in that. But maybe lay low for... It seems like from Bears fans, the wounds are still fresh. And so, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, I understand. I agree with Steve completely. We don't ever, when a receiver, like, drops a pass, like...
We don't feel sorry for them?
We don't feel sorry for them. Like, but it's, for whatever reason, it's a kicker. And I don't know why we feel sorry for them. But it even goes beyond that. It's even like...
You know why? So why do we feel bad for kickers when they... Miss. Well, first of all,
I think it's because they're diminutive.
It's because it's all they do.
Yes.
It's all they do.
Yes.
And because it's an isolated, like a drop pass comes in the flow of the game. You don't have time to think about it. You're
right.
Not sitting there for 5 minutes before the pass comes to you thinking, God, they don't call timeout to freeze you.
Correct.
To see if you'll make
drop
the catch.
The pass. Yeah.
Here it is concentrated pressure that is put on this person to do this one thing in this one moment, and there are no other variables.
Yes.
And you have time to think about it in advance, and you also get no credit for doing anything else. You haven't made six other catches during the course of
sure.
the game, or you haven't... Whatever. And so it is a more distilled... Can we say at least it is a more distilled form of pressure?
Yes. I do agree that there is a different type of pressure, because even, like, for instance, even if you drop a pass... The odds are overwhelming that you're probably going to get another chance to make the play. Like, with kicking, it's like that's your one shot. Like, you either make it or you miss it.
Right. Yes. And so I think that's why we feel bad for them. Now, you know,
I agree with Steve. Cody Parkey's on a 4-year deal. He has paid over what is an average salary for a kicker. Like, at the end of the day, like, your job is to kick. It's the same. I felt the same way about Nathan Peterman. When Nathan Peterman was struggling and he was talking about his faith, like, okay, I can totally respect what you're saying, but the problem is you are a professional quarterback. Like, that is your job. Like, it's one thing to have faith and to live your life accordingly, but, like, I'm not going to overlook the fact that you're bad at your
right,
job.
But you also, that's fine, but it doesn't give you license to say awful things to
them.
Oh,
no,
on
I'm not
Twitter
saying like I would tell.
Else.
It's not like I would tell Cody Parkey, hey, like you don't deserve
to
live.
You should be killed.
Right. I'm not telling him, like, yes, I'm not saying that at all. But at the same time, it's like,
you
I don't.
You did a bad job.
I don't feel this
job.
Overwhelming amount of sympathy for him.
I think I feel sympathy for him. Well, maybe it's because I know I couldn't do it under that pressure. I know I could not.
And I'm a gamer.
And you're very clearly a gamer.
And I had the Eagles money line.
Also, there you have it. When we come back, Jeffrey will tell you who he's got this weekend. But before that, we're going to talk to Chris Harrington. We'll do that next. Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know it. New money, new year.
Money.
Come
coming up at 10 a.m. We are all for that cash. New money, new year. Get the code weekdays at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Text that code to 72881. Data message rates apply. National contest. And you could get paid a grand. New money in the new year. You know where the dollar's at the top of every hour weekdays, 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Year's resolutions are hard.